Welcome to the Fire Up Coaching Podcast, your number one podcast all about the amazing world of coaching. Listen in as this internationally recognized and one of Australia's leading coaching companies share over 20 years of coaching experience and knowledge. We chat with fascinating individuals that will inspire you, industry leaders that will amaze you, and take a look at the current research and trends in coaching to inform you, all to help you ignite the potential within. Get ready to learn, laugh, and level up with our thought-provoking podcast and join us in making the world a better place using the power of coaching and the art of the conversation.
Hello, this is Craig Levitt from Fire Up Coaching. I'm one of the training facilitators at Fire Up Coaching. Today, I want to talk about the concept of understanding brain preferences. Interesting subject matter. Now, at Fire Up, for many, many years now, when it comes to testing or psychometric testing, we use what's called the Herman Brain Dominance Instrument. HBDI. Now, you may be familiar with a number of different other tools that are often used within organizations. I know one of the things that I certainly was exposed to in my 20 plus years in the corporate world was a tool called DISC, probably one of the most popular. DISC is a behavior-based assessment that considers how we behave in specific situations and how others perceive that. Okay, what's the difference between that and HBDI? Well, HBDI looks at how we process information. So it's about thinking preferences in relation to how we process information. So it's slightly different from DISC, which is behavioral. The other one that's often talked about or often used also is called Myers-Briggs. Now, Myers-Briggs is somewhat similar to HBDI, although it tends to have its major application in personality, like looking at personality traits, not necessarily the thinking preferences. Okay, so let's go back to HBDI and why at Fire Up we use this particular testing, this particular model. I first became exposed to this many, many years ago. I did my first training program with Fire Up in about 2008, delivered directly from our founder, Kath McKenzie. It was actually called The Art and Science of Coaching. And I thought this was an amazing tool. Let me give you a little bit of background. So Ned Herman, who created this, Ned was curious, I think sometimes curious, as to where he viewed that creativity came from. Okay, so he was someone quite interesting. He at this stage was at university. He was actually studying engineering. Okay, what he also realized though was that he was quite interested or in the areas of music, singing, and these types of things. And he was quite different from very many of the other engineers he was studying with. So he thought, you know, what is it that allows me to be both interested in science and engineering and also some of the creative arts? So that started him to ponder the question. Now, when he got his role at General Electric, one of his tasks in the training development space was to develop a model or a tool that could enable managers to be more flexible in their thinking. Okay, quite an interesting concept. This is back in the 70s and 80s. So Ned Herman went searching for science of the brain. First thing he came across was, and you're probably familiar with this, is the concept of left brain, right brain. In fact, coming from Roger Sperry's work on split brain theory, and talks about demonstrated hemispheric specialization of the brain. So some of the functions that exist more from our left brain are to those that exist from our right brain. And we see left brain often as being more logical and right brain being a little bit more intuitive, a little bit more creative. He then overlaid that with some work that was being done by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Paul McLean, who was investigating the three brains, or the concept of the reptilian brain, the limbic brain, and the neocortex. Okay, so what he did is he started overlay. Now, he didn't focus on the reptilian brain because that's predominantly responsible for our biological or physiological functions, but he was most interested in the mammalian brain, which is that social-emotional brain, and also the neocortex, which starts to in the areas of conceptualization and theory. So he overlaid the left and right brain with the mammalian and neocortex to come up with a four-quadrant model. Okay, a four-quadrant model to talk about the different quadrants within the brain in terms of thinking preferences. So what we started to see is some focus on those persons who had thinking preferences that were, for example, more left brain and cerebral, meaning rational, logical, and conceptual, and theoretical, as opposed to those people who may have also had an overlap of left brain and being more emotional, which means they're more instinctive and more concrete in the way they do things rather than being in theory. Then we looked at the right brain and two quadrants there. We talked about people who are generally more intuitive and contextual that may well be at the abstract level when we overlay the cerebral, so very good at brainstorming, thinking outside the square, or when we start to overlay the emotional brain, very much about intuition, empathy, the way we relate to people. So hence, the HBDI instrument came up with a four-quadrant model. Now, when we talk about preferences, you know, it's important to say preferences are a bit like you right now will either be generally left-handed or right-handed, which means you have a preference for that handedness in terms of writing. Doesn't mean you can't write with the other hand, although you might lick right now, Craig, you haven't seen me write with the opposite hand, but you can, and with application, that would actually improve. The same with the thinking preferences. So we have natural preferences to go particular ways, but we can move into the other quadrants. And that's the important thing that Ned Herman was looking at, was how can a tool give me awareness of how I currently think, plus by exposing me to alternative ways of thinking, allow me the option to move into those quadrants and apply a different type of thinking to a situation, to a project, to a circumstance. Okay. And so we started to see one of the preeminent concepts within coaching, which is self-awareness. Before we can change, we have to be aware of self, and understanding our own thinking preferences will lead us to, isn't it interesting that that's my approach? And when we start to think about the role of coaching in moving people towards desired outcomes and helping people increase their potential within, often by overcoming their potentially limited views of the world or limited patterns of thinking or limited belief models, or when they get stuck. Now, there's a great quote from Einstein. I often use it. Says, Einstein said, "We can't solve the problem with the same thinking that got us there." Don't you love that? We can't solve the problem with the same thinking that got us there. And what that means is to shift forward or to move forward, we need to change the way we think. So, of course, hence why thinking preferences are so powerful within the Fire Up coaching program and the way we train coaches, that we can start to give identification and awareness of not only how you think as the coach, but an insight to the world of the way that your client thinks. And of course, if we can get that understanding and we can help the client create awareness of how those thinking preferences are either supporting their desired outcomes or potentially preventing them from moving towards their desired goals and outcomes, we can instigate the process that the client can start to shift and make change. Now, how do we identify preferences? Well, look, there's a number of different ways. There's obviously a questionnaire with a particular survey instrument, but often also we can use language, people's words, to understand their thinking preferences. So people are always saying things like, I need to understand the bottom line. I need to do some more data. I need some analysis. We can understand that they potentially may have a particular quadrant of thinking, which is left brain and also cerebral thinking. If we hear people start to use words like, this is the way we've always done things, I need to have a standard process and procedure and follow the rules, we might see that they are also left brain, but they're a little bit more emotion. When I say emotive brain, using means more concrete and instinct, more doing, more grounded, as opposed to just a theory, but they're actually grounded in doing. Of course, if we hear people say, I want to throw around a few ideas and see what sticks, we know that they may well be more right brain focused and start to be, again, a little bit more cerebral, abstract or conceptual. If we start to see people very much engaged in other people's emotions and feelings, able to demonstrate high empathy, looking for collaboration, working with people, we can start to see that these people can be more right brain and being intuitive, but also quite highly empathetic or within their emotional brain. Okay. And so these preferences are not about what's right, wrong, good or bad. They just are. And again, it's a case within coaching of having awareness to the way that you think to then go, how is this working for me? How is this serving me? Do I need to step outside my current mode of thinking, step into a different mode or a different quadrant if I want to achieve a different result? How can I stretch myself? How can I move and shift my thinking that can potentially aid my outcome? That's one thing, okay? The other thing too is that identify also where your strengths are to support your behaviors and actions in your decision-making process. So it's a multifaceted tool that can be used in a number of different ways. The underlying key thing is it's about thinking preferences. And what we know is that the way that we interpret our worlds, we obviously potentially see an event, we have a thought about it. And the thought is determined by the filters or the way we see that view of the world. And then, of course, we've got particular ways that we process that thought. And then ultimately that will lead to our own language, our actions and our behavior. So there's no question that our thinking and the way that we process when we're thinking will have a significant impact on our eventual actions and behaviors. So again, a quick snapshot today, but if we can get that insight, if you can have an awareness and an understanding of how you think, the ways which you think, the options or opportunities for you to potentially jump into a different type of thinking, to shift out of your current state or move towards your desired outcome, ultimately gives you flexibility. And if we go back to Ned Herman's original goal when this was created within the hallways of General Electric, was to create a mechanism or a tool to aid managers become more flexible in their thinking. So that's why we use HBDI at FireUp. That's why it's so powerful, we believe, as a coaching tool to understand yourself and to identify patterns and to support your clients to move towards the change they want. Thanks very much for listening, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Fire Up Coaching Podcast. If you would like more information on coaching, becoming a qualified coach, or want to experience the power of coaching, call us on 1-300-FIRE-UP or head on over to the website fireupcoaching.com.au, where you will also find access to more amazing podcasts that will help you fire up, level up, and ignite the potential within.